Good morning. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody said, Amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Well, I'm sorry I put you in a little bit of a quandary there, Tom, with that title. Don't miss the bus. Don't miss the bus. Turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to take a look at a couple of verses here. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways, and we do not use deception, nor do we use or do we distort the Word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. This is a marvelous passage of encouragement. And I wanted to, especially today, for us to have a lesson of encouragement that gets us refocused in our lives. Now, I'm doing this to kind of move us ahead. You know, here comes the first of the year. People are going to be making all of those resolutions. We're going to start getting ready for starting anew. We look forward to that time. It's just sort of a tradition in our country that we do those kind of things. And I'm trying to prepare you as we move along. I hope that what I have to say today will be of encouragement to you as you serve the risen Lord. I'm going to start with a personal story. My own academic career got off to a shaky start, I'm going to say. I suffer from the little disease as a kid. I'm not a whole lot bigger right now, but when I was a child, I didn't spurt up very quickly or sprout up very quickly, and I was pretty tiny. We lived out on a highway that was out away from town quite a bit, and we had a volunteer system that drove the school buses. They were volunteer firemen, volunteer teachers or substitute teachers, a bunch of different folks. Well, when it came time for Bobby to go to school, he went out with his sack lunch and dressed up in his school clothes and stood out waiting. We didn't have any curbs, but out by the ditch where the bus would be coming along. And the bus came by, and the bus went by, and it left me standing. So I had to go in the house and break the news to my mother that the bus had drove by, left me there. She quickly called the school. They said, well, the bus is not back in yet. Is there any way possible for you to bring the boy in? She said, I will. So she did. Ushered me in and got my first day in. And the next day, the very same thing happened. So she called the school again. Only this time she said, I can't bring him in. Well, they didn't have anybody to come and get me except the principal. So the principal got in his car and he drove out to our place. And he took one look at me and he says, I see the problem right away. Is he the only boy that stands out there? She said, yes. I said, well, they probably saw him and thought he's just a kid playing in the yard, and that he didn't go to school. And he explained about the volunteer system. Well, we had that problem off and on until my mother decided that she would hook up with another a classmate of mine and had that person come down and stand with me to help alleviate the problem, which, by the way, it did, because the other boy was a little taller, and he looked like he was school age, so he stopped. At least they stopped for him, and I got on behind him, you know. But one day, me and the other boy, whose name was Tom, by the way, and he was a troublemaker, and we got to busy doing a thing or two, and the bus came by and didn't see us because we were playing behind a hedge. Well, you know how sometimes stories in your family take on lives of themselves. That began the story about me and my mother, my whole family, as a matter of fact, who began to say, "Bobby, don't miss the bus." So at every gathering, we heard the bus story. And Bobby not getting picked up. And then Bobby playing, not paying attention, and not getting picked up. Don't miss the bus. Now, I don't know, how many of you rode a bus? Not everybody rides a bus. You know, if you walk to school, you probably have memories about how some of those things. I had an experience for a while, Jim, when I was walking to school. And guess what? We were late because we got sidetracked one day on the train yard. Because the train track went right by our school. And we started walking down the train thing. And there was an old train car there. And, well, we were late. Another time that Tom got me into trouble. I'm not blaming it on all Toms, but we were in trouble. I'm just using this story about don't miss the bus to tell you that you don't have to live very long to know that life is filled with its distraction. There are obstacles that get in our way. There are always doubters when it comes to what we're about in the kingdom of God, right? And there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be doubters. There's going to be mistakes. But remember this, if you remember nothing at all, but with God there are no limits. Hello? Amen? When God on our side and God to take care of us, we're going to be okay. Life's problems do come along, and sometimes they demand our immediate attention, and they get us sidetracked. But I want you to remember this, that Satan knows that the easiest way to keep us from serving, reaching our goals, staying on task, as we might say today, or on target, is to distract us. And you know what will happen if we get distracted? We'll miss the bus. You won't get to your destination. And you know that what I'm saying is really very true. Now, having said that, David, I'm going to plug the blood drive. David said to me earlier, said, you know, he thought I could announce that if anyone ever wanted to miss one of my sermons, you have a good excuse today. But I'm waiting now to say it. If you want to miss this sermon, you go ahead and get up and go get blood. But I've got my pen with me. I'm planning to write your name down. No, I'm teasing you. It's a neat thing to think about that we're being able to save lives out in the fellowship hall. And I hope you remember that what we're doing in here, the purpose behind it is that we might save spiritual lives. I hope you keep that in mind as we go through our lesson today. Obstacles keep us from achieving our goals. Satan knows that. Spiritual growth and growing in the spiritual realm. When we don't do that, that tends to cause disappointment. And disappointment, of course, is always followed by discouragement. That's just a natural order of it. And I'll tell you what discouragement does. We could make a long list, but it robs us of our joy of serving. And then serving becomes a duty. Am I right about this? Because when it becomes a duty, it lowers the priority of it, doesn't it? Oh, well, you know, this is something we gotta do. I hope you see that getting to be together as the family of God, the church of the living God, is a great privilege and a marvelous opportunity for us to be together to encourage us and not to discourage us, not to disappoint us, to help us get over the obstacles of life and to keep us focused on what our real job is while we're here in the world. We don't want to miss the bus. That's why we're here today. We're all in here. And how many of you used to sing that song, the wheels on the bus go round and round, right? Did you sing that song ever? Well, of course they do. That's how they get to the destination. And our being together like this, being in the body of Christ, is the source of overcoming the discouragements and the obstacles, the aggravations, the despair that can come with it in our lives sometimes. It brings about hope and peace and joy. We were just studying today in our Bible class. I hope you come to Bible class. You can learn about all of the great benefits, the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and long suffering and gentleness and goodness or kindness or faith or meekness and temperance, self-control, all of these great things that we are to embody as the members of the body of Christ according to Galatians 5 and verse 22. But if you don't make progress along that goal, you begin to see the decline or decay in your own life. That always brings about the concepts of hopelessness. We are to be encouragement in a world of discouragement. Is that not right? And that's what we're trying to do. I know that, hey, school is winding down. David's already mentioned to the kids, did you hear the little moan and groan when he said this was going to be finals week or testing week? And, oh, there was even one comment, we won't say who said it, but they said something like, well, this is Sunday. You know, we're supposed to have a break from that. But all of those things affect us, don't they? The busyness of life. I bet your calendar is packed for December. I know that all of the... Just ask a teacher in here how many days they got left. They've got them counted. They will probably respond with some hours right back at you. You know, so many days, this many hours, this many minutes, and I will be free! Or as one good brother responded today, peace. Peace. Yeah, our schedules get jammed and packed. And before you know it, the relatives will be swarming the joint, right? Yeah, they're all going to show up. And that'll be great for about 15 minutes. You know I'm kidding. I mean, we love the holidays. We love the opportunity to be together. Those are great things, to be able to do that, because they encourage us. They should encourage us. I hope that you understand that being in the body of Christ, being in the church of the living God, the ecclesia, as you all know what that means. Every Church of Christ knows at least one or two Greek words. Baptizo is one of them, and ekklesia is one of them. Maybe you're not as familiar with the kingdom word that is the basileia. But you see, the idea is that we belong to Jesus Christ. In the kingdom of God, He is our ruler and He is our King. And we come today and celebrate and encourage one another to live the life so that other people can see Him living in us. And we become a great hope to the rest of the world. Got your pen with you? Get ready. You can write down a note or two about where to find some things so that you can tell your friends when they're in sorrow. Tell them to read John 14. Tell them to read John 14 if they're sorrowing. And when your friends or mankind lets you down, you read Psalm 27. Write down Psalm 27. You don't have to go look them up right now. But if you'll go read them later, you'll see how they fit together to help you. And when you have sinned, I hope you read David's discourse in Psalm 51. I'm talking about King David, not Chenault over here, okay? Go read what King David said about his sin and be encouraged. Or maybe you want to read 1 John. There's another great 1 John chapter 1 is a great passage of Scripture. And when you're overcome with how you're going to pay for all of the things that are going on in the holiday, get over there and read Matthew 6, 19 through 34. And remember that we don't worry. And understand that God is here to help us. Or before you come to worship next week, write this one down for sure, Psalm 84. Go read how great God is. Go read how positive that He is. And there are just so many places where hope can be found in the Bible. I love Romans 4 and verse 13. It's a verse I go and read often. Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of nations. When I think about the implications of him overcoming his disappointment and discouragement and all of the things that beset Abraham, and then he became the great father of all nations. That is a great encouragement to me as a follower of God in this world that is so filled with discouragement. Read Isaiah 40. Get lifted up. Find out the idea or the concept of having great fruitfulness in your life. You want to be fruitful? Read Proverbs 1. Go read the book of Proverbs. The whole book is filled with these great things. But you want to be fruitful in your life? When you feel down and out, read Romans 8, 31 through 39 and see if the love of Christ, the unspeakable, unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ and the unspeakable gift of Jesus, what that means to you and what it ought to mean to all of us. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15. When I get up here, I know that it may sound like it's just a repetitive thing, but I want you to know that I made it my goal in my preaching life that I didn't begin any sermon without quoting Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Isn't it great to be a Christian? I mean, if you're in the body of Christ, I hope you at least have that kind of attitude. It's great being a Christian. I know that the rest of the world doesn't always see it that way. I know that things happen in life that bring us down or discourage us. But being a Christian is living the greatest life that is possible here on this earth. And guess what? We're going to get to live it forever. One day with God in heaven. And we want other people to catch on to that. They want, let them see that. I don't know. Sometimes it seems like as a people of God that we sort of become like the Pharisees who seemingly, well, they just continued to serve, but they'd forgotten why. I don't know why that is, but when we keep going through things in the, well, I'll just say, you know, the same procedure we always do them, and we wind up taking those things for granted. I hope you don't take the Lord's Supper and not remember that Jesus gave His life for you, that His blood was given on the cross so that you can be free. I hope you always remember to celebrate that moment. I know it's difficult to remember back when you were baptized into Christ sometimes, especially if it's been a long time like some of us old duffers. But what a great thing it is to be born in the waters of baptism and to come alive in Jesus Christ and to be able to know that you have the benefits of the kingdom of God. The only problem we ever face is ourselves. It's not the preacher and it's not the elders. It's not the person sitting next to you. It's us. We need to remember to re-energize our attitude of recognizing how great it is to be in the kingdom of God, to be a Christian. You remember Jesus? Here's one. It's sort of a sad prayer over in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, where He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, or killest the prophets, and stonest them which were sent unto you, how often I would have gathered you together as the hen does her chickens, her little chicks. How many of you on the farm ever saw those chicks or those ducks that followed Mama all around? And when she needed to, they just squatted and they all got there close and she just covered them up and took care of them. You ever think about that's what Jesus promises to do for us? The Pharisees had forgotten about God's loving, nurturing, caring kind of care. And they thought that serving and doing well, that was all there was to it. I want you to remember that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our King. He is our God. Now, how do you get your enthusiasm back where you're not missing the bus? I remember a few lessons I learned from missing the bus. Some of them didn't feel very good. When I think back about my life as a child, it was really a charmed one. I have great parents. I had wonderful, loving parents. I rarely got a spanking, but I did get a few. Missing the bus was one of them. It didn't take long. I'll tell you what, when I was in high school, Coach, when they said, get on the bus, Bob was one of the first ones on it. And that's because my dad taught me a lesson about missing the bus. He knew it was important for me to be on the bus. And I was learning that lesson. Now, I didn't know that that was going to affect my life in a lot of other ways. It probably is what encouraged me to always try to be at a place when I was supposed to be at a place. Was I always there? No. There were a few times when I've still not been able to do it. But it was always important to me to be there because I had said I would be there or I had promised to be there. I think of that. Listen, I'm not wandering here. I'm still on target with this lesson. I don't want you missing the bus. I want you here for every lesson you can be here for. I want you to be around every Christian family member you can be around every time you can be around them. Why? Because I know that is the source of encouragement. I know that that is the source of family. I know that is what makes us who we are. And if we want to recharge ourselves, we rededicate ourselves, we must learn to put Christ back on the bus and remember to get on it. Remember that's where He is. Know that He's in the body of Christ. Put Christ where He belongs. Isn't that what He says? Seek ye first what? The football team? No, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all your worries will go away. Now some of you out there are going, no. Well, that's because you know that you're going to worry, huh? Even though God said, don't worry. When will we ever learn that God is going to be up all night? He might as well be the one who loses the sleep, right? Give your concerns to God. Let Him take care of your needs. He says He will. He promises to do that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 12 says, at verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So we're either on the bus with the Lord or we miss the bus. Now, Coach, I don't know what you do up in Kilgore with those boys that miss the bus. Anybody ever miss the bus up there? Probably rare, but there's been at least one. Yep. God called them home, didn't He? Yeah. You got to get on the bus and let our actions do the talking. I remember a fellow by the name of Jesus who prayed some three different times not to have to suffer. And yet he recognized that doing the will of God was more important than his own desires. A lot of times our actions betray our own commitment. We've got to learn to remember to whom we were called and to whom we should be faithful to. We need to remember to keep Christ first. We need to be the kind of people who dedicate our lives to the church. There's just one church. There's just one Lord. That's what the Bible teaches in Ephesians 4. There's just one body, one spirit. That's what He says. That's not what Bob says. Just one authority. That's Jesus. Let's go get involved with the church. Let's get involved in the praying and the singing and the giving and the fellowshipping. You've got to put something in it to get something out of it. Seeking the kingdom. Being dedicated to our Lord. Dedicated to the church. Dedicated to what we do in this room together. Some of that's fellowshipping when we come in. Then it's praying. Then it's the encouragement that goes to even some of our little children up here. It's the partaking of the supper that keeps us in tune with what God has done for us. It's the understanding that comes from behind the Word. Being grateful. Thanks be to God. That's what Paul said. For Jesus Christ who giveth us the victory in our Lord. And that verse I quote to you. You remember that it is in the church. Do I need to give you the history lesson? Remember, the church is what? It's the body of Christ. Is that right? And that's what all of us are. The body of Christ. The church. And it is in that body. It is in that church that Jesus our Lord is glorified. Amen? That's what the book says. I want to encourage you to be the kind of person that doesn't forget that. That's sometimes hard to do when you're sitting next to Mr. He can't sing very good. Whoever said that everybody was supposed to have a perfect voice? I guess it's just us. Remember that when we come in here, we're one together. We're family. And whether we sing on key or off key or in the right time or the wrong time, we're still family. It just doesn't matter. I think God thinks it sounds wonderful. I love it when Tommy is directing our South Main singers and they all sound so good. And I just know God has to be extra pleased. And then I think, I bet He's pleased any time we open our mouth to praise Him, no matter what it sounds like. I get an amen on that. We're not here pleasing ourselves. We're here pleasing God. Don't miss the bus. Don't miss the most important lesson of life, that every one of us has got a responsibility and we've got a place where we're supposed to be. And that's here encouraging one another. Don't you love when Paul says to Timothy that I'm now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand? I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course and I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give unto me in that day, but not to me only. Aren't you glad He wrote that? Not to me only, but to them also. That's all of us that love His appearing. I hope you love His appearing. I hope that you're encouraged by, therefore, since we have this ministry, that we have received mercy, that we do not lose heart. We renounce the things that are hidden because of shame and not walking in craftiness or adulterating the Word of God. But by the manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Don't miss the bus. Can we help you today? If you're not in Christ, we want you to be in Christ. You can do that by putting Him on, confessing Him, being buried together with Him in baptism. Or maybe your life just needs to get back on track. There are a number of ways you can do that. You have the great power to be able to pray to the Lord yourself and have your sin forgiven. Maybe there's just things you want us to pray with you about, because the prayers of righteous men availeth much. We invite you to come. Be a part of the family. And serve in the kingdom of God. Don't miss the bus. Won't you come while we stand and sing?